I always enjoy getting a chance to talk with Ryan Irvine of Keystone Financial, keystocks.com, Keystone Financial. And Ryan, first of all, I'm glad you're with us because I'm going to start with one of the best questions you've ever heard. That is, you recommended Hammond Power Systems to our audience, I think, 5 years ago. And you then reiterated at the World Outlook Conference. You did it again. You know what? That's the best performing stock in that time frame. I mean, was it $3 or something when you started? Because it's now over 120.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back. Like it for us, it's a overnight success story. And thanks for having me on again, by the way. Thank you very much. But it's an overnight success story about two decades in the making. It goes back to 2000. The stock was at 60 cents then. It closed today around 120, but we recommended it on your show way back at $1.15.
Yeah.
And then at your conference 5 years ago in the $6-$7 range. And just on your show in the fall of 2022 when it was $16. And it has just hit that inflection point where it went from a boring business that made transformers. I always say not Autobots and Decepticons. They make transformers that sell, step up and step down power. And they've done it for years. They used to trade at 6-7 times earnings and grow at a reasonable clip. You've seen the infrastructure grid in the U.S. Deteriorate, and Hammond Power has become sexy. They power every Tesla charging station. You'll find a Hammond Power transformer at those in Canada. And, you know, growth rates went up significantly during the pandemic, 50% from where you were looking at 10 to 15%. So the stock was so undervalued that even though it's gone from $1 to 120, it doesn't trade at the sky high valuations we sometimes see when you see a company do that type of gain. It's about 25 times earnings versus companies that, you know, have 25 times sales when they make a gain like that. Now, we have taken half of our position off the table because it's responsible to take some profit. It is literally up 20,000%. So we're taking some off based on the fundamentals. It grows about 10 to 12% organically annually. So we would more like to see it in the range of maybe 15 to 20 times. At 25 times, it is above our fair value in the near term. Having said that, we are still holding a very significant position because we think Hammond Power is going to go from the 600 million range right now in terms of revenues by the end of this decade to about $1 billion. So we want to be participated in that sector. We see tailwinds. It's not going to be like this, though. It's going like I'm doing a straight linear line going up. It's going to be a jagged line going up, but we still see upside over the long term in this business. It increases its dividend every year. So it's a well-run company. Again, 20 years in the making, the success story, but the market is now starting to pay attention to Hammond Power. We like to get in early when there's good cash flow, when people aren't paying attention.
But actually, that's your formula on Keystone Financial since the very outset. When I met you as a young cub, I didn't even have gray hair then. That's been the formula. Find undiscovered
companies.
I didn't
have children then.
There you go. And that will give you gray hair, by the way. But I love the success story, of course. I mean, it's congratulations.
It's coming, I know.
Congratulations to you and the team. But come on, I'll just go short term. October 2022. We're not 2 years away from that. It's up 600%+ since then. So, by the way, I'm giving that a big check mark. That's how I do that. You know, I understand the markets. That's a big, good thing. So anyways, congratulations.
We found it. That's often good for our clients. Yes, yeah. We found that.
Let me skip on though again. So from here on in though, let's assume people got in, say that October time and, you know, lots of money on the table. You took half, as you said. Do you still piece out or do you get prepared to buy on any, you know, significant pullback? You know, I am talking 15% pullback or something.
Yeah, we'd have to see about a 25% pullback for us to get very interested again. In the near term, we're going to take our half position off the table. I mean, we have client, often we'll have a stock. I mean, we would like it to happen all the time, but if a stock doubles, we might take half our position. You've taken all your initial capital off the table. In this case, many clients could have taken 10% off and they took their initial position off the table. But one of our philosophies is to let winners ride. And I don't a lot of investment advisors don't do this. They're always paring back a position to keep it in the range of like 3% in a portfolio. Well, we use Warren Buffett's teachings on this, and he gave a little speech he always does at their Berkshire annual meeting last year, and he talked about saying that investing in his entire lifetime in the market, 60 years, it was just 12 stocks that have really driven his portfolio, and he likes to buy and hold those. Now, you take some position out, but if you've taken all your risk out of that position, we like to let our winners run if you want to beat the market. And I'm always talking to people who want to beat the market. If you want to get a market average return, just buy three ETFs and get the lowest cost on those. And like, I give you that advice for free, just do that. But if you're trying to beat the market, you need to have those winners in your portfolio, because you're going to make mistakes. And a winner like Hammond Power can allow you to make mistakes. But if you always keep trimming its position in your portfolio and keeping it at a very low percentage of your portfolio, you're going to miss out on those gains. Certainly be prudent. Take your initial position off the table, but let a great company grow over time. And that's how you make wealth in the markets. We've seen that with Boyd. Boyd is a company we've never taken a penny out of the company, because it continues to trade at reasonable valuation. So if we can find a winner and ride it out long term, that's what we're trying to do. It's the best case scenario. Let's hold on to those great businesses.
Let me come to the broader application there. We've seen a sharp rise in the stock markets, all-time highs, flirting right there. Does it change, your approach, or how do you look at your portfolio, that kind of stuff? Has it changed the game for growth-oriented, smaller companies?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. One of the things that for us has changed the game, and this is a bit of inside baseball. Well, I'll give you a couple companies that we looked at, the way we look at small caps and investing in companies. But you see, and I hammer this point home all the time, we talk about looking at great balance sheets, good cash flow. It becomes part of the noise sometimes. But the crux of the argument, it's really hit home as you've seen interest rates rise over the past 2 to 3 years. So a good cash producing growth stock could fund debt or get debt at 2.5 to even 5%, sometimes lower over the 2 years ago. Now, today they are paying 8.5 to 12.5 plus. In some cases, their cost of growth capital is up 3 to 4 times. Mm-hmm. We just did a report where we looked through about 3,000 companies in Canada. It's called our Canadian Small Cap Cash Rich Stock Report. Try saying that 3 times fast. We got to work on those names, but it really rolls off the tongue. But we look at 3,000 stocks. It takes us 2 to 3 months. We end up with about 75 stocks that loosely meet this criteria, cash rich and are profitable. There's some more that goes into it, but that's the basic. We interview management teams and really looking for good businesses. And we added 3 stocks. The common thing was they were all net cash, which means more cash in the bank than debt. One of the biggest items we noted there is the fundamental change that has happened to some of these businesses with the rate increase. I'm going to give you an example of 2 companies. I love to give examples that make it simple. And we sat down with both these teams. One of them we've been sitting down with for four years looking for an entry point, and we finally found it in September. But the other one is a good juxtaposition. They're both specialty pharma companies in Canada, so they sell drugs into the Canadian market. One had 50 million in net cash, so 50 million in cash. The other one had 50 million in net debt. So when debt costed 3%, we still preferred the net cash company, but with the net debt company, that interest payment was about 1.5 million in a year. So it's not great, but it's not affecting cash flow tremendously. With debt costing them 10%, that's 5 million now in interest that's going out the door, and that eats into cash flow. The juxtaposition is the $50 million net cash position company used to get nothing on that cash. Now they get 5% on the cash. So they're getting 2.5 million a year for it just sitting there. So it's a $7.5 million difference in cash flow in these businesses. And that makes a big difference. So paying attention to the balance sheet has been huge, particularly in this environment where for smaller companies, it's actually been harder to raise money and debt is more expensive. So yes, you have that cash flow difference too, but the main thing is they can't execute on their growth by acquisition strategy. Whereas the company with cash, can do it. There's so many things they can do with that cash to allocate. They can buy back shares, they can pay dividends, invest in their business, buy other businesses to grow. Now, again, all that sounds good in theory, I hope, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Straightforward.
So does it matter in terms of the share prices is what really you probably want to ask, right? Well, those two companies, the specialty pharma business that we recommended in September, and we like the company, it's called Cipher Pharmaceutical, CPH on the TSX. They sell the number one doctor prescribed acne treatment drug in Canada. That's their core business. Profitable, $50 million in net cash. So it was $3.24 in September. The other company is Medexus, profitable, but trading at $3 in September, but net $50 million in net debt. So since that time, Cipher bought back $6 million in their shares, spent $6 million to buy back, substantial course issuer bid, had a good quarter, added to cash. The stock is $9.03 today. So it's up 178%. Medexus is the debt-heavy company of those two. It's profitable, but the interest they're paying, the cost of capital going forward for them is higher. Well, the stock, it's harder to grow in that environment, in this environment. Now they're down to $1.57, so down 47%. Between those companies, a massive swing in 6 months. This is very long-winded, but I'll say this is where Buffett's quote on a rising tide floats all boats. When the tide goes out, you discover who's been swimming naked. And we've really seen that over the past year in the small cap arena. Growth stocks that have been disciplined, have great cash positions, really have a chance to allocate capital for shareholder benefit now. And you're the ones that are doing it, and they're well positioned right now. I think it's an inflection point and can continue going forward. But the ones in our portfolio that have this cash and good profitable businesses, they're well positioned right now. The flip side, the other companies are not.
Just I'm digressing just a little bit, but we talked to a lot of people. We're going to talk to Mark Brown in a minute about the small caps in the resource sector, and specifically silver in that case, but across the board, talking to people in the gold sector, and they say they can't believe with a record price of gold, you know, their stocks aren't performing across the board. It isn't just an individual stock. Have you guys looked at that sector? And would you advise, if I was going to look at it, what you've just alluded to is sort of the key component, is to look at what their net cash flow is or their net cash position?
Yeah, it's so key. If we ever do look at a resource company, you got to look at cash flow, but the balance sheet is so key in that segment. And companies with net cash, because you're beholden to an underlying commodity, if silver goes up, if gold goes up, your margins improve if you're a producer. The opposite happens. So, you need that. You need the ability to survive in a down environment. Plus, then they can go out and buy other businesses in that environment, which is what we love to see. So the minimum criteria in that sector you're talking about is a great balance sheet. And I'll talk about a company and recommend it today to your viewers, listeners, that is in the gold sector that has performed well over this period, but it has that buffer of cash. You need that, and it's so important for investors.
Well, I was going to
look
say,
at that segment.
Let's not wait any longer. Let's start with that one.
Okay, let's get into it. And we've talked about this company a number of times on this show, but it's Dynacor. They are in the gold sector. They have performed well over the past year. $4, $3, or 3.45% dividend, $146 million market cap. It's a very simple business model. They purchase ore from small scale or artisanal miners in various regions of Peru, process it at their mill in Peru, and sell the extracted gold and silver internationally at market prices. As a result, profitability for the company, it depends on two things: a margin between the price of ore and the market price of gold. The higher the margin, the better. And throughput, the amount of ore being put through the mill, the more efficient, the more money they make. There's another third thing that's really important too that I sometimes fail to mention. A higher gold pricing environment incentivizes more smaller scale miners to bring ore to their mill. Gold is at record highs. There's more and more bringing artisanal miners bringing it to their mill, and the company's more profitable, which is what we look at and what we like. I'll just look at the financials in the last quarter. 38% growth in revenues to $63 million. EBITDA 51%, EPS or earnings per share, what we literally look at, 250% increase. The growth trends trajectory of this company is what we're looking at going forward. We invested in them 5 years ago in the $1.50, $1.75 range. They didn't have a dividend. They implemented a dividend. Every year they've increased it. But the plan then was to, we said, you know what, $4, that's going to be a great return for us over that period. They had $1 million, but now they've built up so much cash in the bank. They have, you know, 30 plus million in cash, no debt. They are looking to go to other markets and employ the same strategy. So put mills, another one in Peru, one somewhere in West Africa, and another Latin American company. So 3 to 5 years from now, we would expect this company to not just have one mill like they do today, four plants. So you have the potential for 3 to 4 times the business over the next 3 to 5 years. And that's why we continue to own them today. You're talking about, you know, when we saw Hammond Power, the rise in that business. Now reevaluate the business when it's gone up. Do you still want to own it? Well, now that they could potentially replicate that successful model in other markets, it makes sense to continue to own it and get paid a 3.5% dividend and watch the company grow. So that's what we expect. We'll buy it today. It trades at about 6 times earnings cash out. The market trades at 20 times. I love to buy things that trade below the market and grow at above the market rate. That's what Dynacor is doing. So we'll continue to own it and buy more today.
And I don't want to preempt because you're doing it. I'll let people know that you guys are doing a live webinar. It's called Simplify Your Stock Portfolio in 224. And you're going to talk about specific stocks they could buy today. You know, so I don't want to preempt too much, but I'll ask you for one more in a second. I'll just remind people that's April 2nd at 7 p.m. Pacific, April 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can just get more information at mikesmoneytalks.ca or go to keystocks.com, keystocks.com, you know, to get more information. So as I say, I don't want to preempt that. It's kind of unfair. You do all the work and I say, hey, give me the extra, but give me just one more, okay? Just one more example that you're looking at.
For sure. A really simple digital Canadian bank success story. It's VersaBank, VBNK on the TSX. They trade around 1450, 1440, pay a small yield, about 0.67%, but we're looking for capital appreciation from this company. They're a leader in business-to-business digital banking, as well as technology solutions for cybersecurity. Again, we like the numbers. There's a great leverage to earnings on this business, low operating cost, just 11% growth in revenue in the last quarter, but 41% growth in EPS, up to 48 cents per share, 2% sequentially. Our estimate on this company is about $2 per share in earnings this year, just a 10 times multiple. So we're not pricing it heavily. We'll get you to $20. That's a significant lift from the $14.50 that it's trading at today. They have a successful program that they operate, business model in Canada. They've bought a bank in the U.S. so they can move that model to the U.S. We'd expect some an inflection point as they announce entering the U.S. market over the next year. They can replicate. Again, we love companies that do something successful in one market, able to replicate it in another market. I think VersaBank can do that over the course of this year. It's done well over the past year. We expect it to continue well into 2024 and 2025.
And let me just remind people, you know, you get these, you know, I subscribe to KeyStocks or Keystone Financial, and you can find them at keystocks.com, but I subscribe to them. But then you go and you look at your own portfolio to determine what's appropriate. They talk a lot about risk. Aaron Dunn and Ryan Irvine talk a lot about risk management. If you've got a professional, you sort of run it by them. You say, where does this fit in my portfolio, et cetera. But you also do that in your portfolio webinars. You explain to people how to build a portfolio, you know, how to not get overexposed, as you just mentioned with Hammond Power. You sold half of it. You got all your risk out of it. But I just want to point that out. You confer with your, you know, professional with this kind of information. And I would really encourage people to take advantage of these webinars. I mean, that's where you grow your sophistication, your level of sophistication. And as I just mentioned, you know, Ryan's got one coming up April 2nd, 7 p.m. Pacific. I'll give the details. You know, Mike's Moneytalks.ca, we'll put them on keystocks.com. April 11th, following week, 7 p.m. Eastern time. There is a early bird price, by the way, is $29.95, which is awfully inexpensive. But they'll also have seven stocks that you can buy today. But you put them within that context. What's appropriate for me? What's my what's my risk tolerance, et cetera, et cetera? What else do I own? All of that stuff. And they deal with that in their webinars. And Ryan, I look forward to it. And I appreciate you sharing some preempting stuff there, putting you on the spot and saying, give me a couple of examples. But always such a pleasure to talk with you. Fine work on your part. Congratulations.
We always quote you at those webinars. You said years ago, an educated investor is a better investor. And we say, quoting Michael Campbell here, and we so believe in that. And we sit down for 3 hours and you'll just get that simple 15 to 25 stock portfolio. We encourage anybody who's listening, come there. We'll give you 6 to 8 stocks you can buy today. And we'd love to see you at those seminars.
Great stuff, Ryan. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me on.